I bring you greetings this morning from the Ipswich Valley Somerset Chaplains, the area that I work in, and also from chaplains across Queensland. Here are some of them receiving a service awards last year at our conference. Four of them are receiving a 5-year service award, and one of them his 10-year service award. It's certainly a wonderful privilege to be working with an organisation that has as its mission to bring God's love, hope, and good news to children, young people, and their families. See, sometimes it seems as if there's always a crisis. Life can be very overwhelming at times. There's elections, natural disasters, horrific terrorist attacks, and personal tragedies, wrongdoings, and illnesses. The Book of Psalms is a great place to go to, whether it's for laments or for thanksgiving, or for any feelings in between. Many of the Psalms begin with the description of the psalmist in crisis. Why do the nations plot? Why are they raging? Why do their people make useless plans? Or Psalm 10, why are you far away, Lord? Why do you hide yourself when I'm in trouble? Or Psalm 61, please listen, God, and answer my prayer. Does this sound like us sometimes? Psalm 46 is a great reminder for us today that we can be confident in God's protection and power. The first few verses of the psalm, we are reminded that God is present among his people. Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. I reckon that's the ultimate climate change protection, don't you? The poet begins with God's provision. He looks to God for help in the difficult times, and he found it. He could say these things by experience, that God himself was a place of refuge. You see, the cities of Israel protected the refugees and the fugitives. That God was the strength for his people. He was being strong for them and in them. That God alone was his refuge and strength. Not God and something, or God and somebody else, but God alone. That God himself was their help. Not from a distance, but a very present, real help. The psalmist then goes on to apply the logic of faith, that if God is a real refuge, if he is our strength, and if he is a help to people, then there is no logical reason to fear even the biggest crisis. God is greater than them all. No other psalm in the Psalter expresses the tremendous truth that God's presence and power are with us in all circumstances more than this psalm. And God offers us the two kinds of help. One is the stronghold and the refuge into which we can flee. And the other is a source of strength by which we can face the uncertain future. Then there's that beautiful word, Selah. It was most likely an original musical notation indicating a pause in the music for contemplation on what was just sung. It causes us to pause and consider what God may be saying, even when we don't fully understand. Selah gives us an opportunity to take a moment away from this crazy, busy, non-stop life we all tend to live and consider the immense mysteries and wonders of God. One of the most high-pressured environments today is all around us, and we all know someone, either our own family, friends, neighbours, that are in that environment. That's the schoolyard, where over 500,000 Queensland children every day is such a place. And SU Queensland chaplains and other people provide safe and positive influences to our children. The story of Scripture Union Queensland is one of many everyday people being inspired just to reach out to the young people who are in need. in need of someone to listen, in need of someone to care, and in need of someone to speak hope into their lives. Over 150 years ago, Josiah Spears spoke to 15 children in the drawing room of a home in Islington, London. He was pioneering a new approach to sharing Christ with children. Josiah taught the children hymns and choruses and told them stories of Jesus in a way that they could understand. See, it was so lively and so informal and so very different from the boring sermons that they'd had to sit through. But some of them came back again the next week and they brought their friends all with them, and the following week. And soon they needed a larger auditorium. And the children's special service mission opened in a schoolhouse with 65 children attending. The next year, Josiah was on holidays at the seaside at a place in North Wales. Holidays by the beach were a new fashion in Britain at the time, but the beach was crowded with children. So Josiah saw the opportunity. He called the children to him and he suggested that they should make a text in the sand. He marked out the words, "God is love." And then he said to the children, "Go out and get rocks and shells and seaweed and come back and we'll decorate that on the sand." When the text was finished, he told Bible stories to the children. That was activity-based learning way back then. And the first Scripture Union Beach Mission was born. Annie Marston, a young Sunday school teacher in Keswick, wrote out lists of passages for her Sunday school classes to read the Bible. As more and more children were asking for lists of the passages, she wrote to CSSM in London and suggested maybe they should print the list of the Bible passages for the children to read. And the first printed cards appeared in 1879, attracting 6,000 members, all children. By 1893, just 14 years later, CSSM had distributed 13 million children's leaflets in 50 languages around the world. This unique combination of ministry with children and Bible ministry quickly spread to many countries around the world, and eventually the name of the movement became Scripture Union. In 1892, two students from Cambridge University came up with a novel idea. They wanted to organise a boys' camp. They wrote, "Our idea and plan is as follows. We're going to collect together as many as possible in tents to provide for them all the sports and all the amusements that are dear to the heart of boys. And while in the midst of these enjoyment, to influence them more by example than by words." They did just as they planned, and it's reported on the last night, some of the most unlikely ones, you know, the ones that had just come to camp as a joke, they told how they'd found Christ that week. Last year, and as you heard our CEO say, Queensland holds over 100 different events, reaching out to 5,000 children. 1,700 volunteers and leaders invested their time and energy to bring hope to these children, and people in our congregation have done that in the past as well. We also run what I like to call alternate schoolies weeks in different locations, drug-free, alcohol-free, and not on the Gold Coast. Spaces fill up fast, so if you're in Year 12, or if you know of a Year 12 student, please get them to check out the sites of Whitsunday, Fraser Island and the Sunshine Coast. I believe Hawaii is already full this year. Perhaps you could sponsor a young person on that one of those weeks. With many camps to cater for all the needs, sports camps, day camps, Uber Tweak computer camps, kids games, fishing camps, gents camps, Spring Fest for the girls, SMAD camps for arts and quest camps and training weeks for disciples. We are always happy to have leaders or to birth new camps. And again, we thank people in our congregation that have helped and inputted for leaders on camps. But you see, change and growth is always happening, and it's been one of the hallmarks of the SU journey. Some of you here may be able to remember ISCF groups, or the Interschool Christian Fellowship groups. They were the forerunner. Now we have the full-time chaplains in schools, looks very different to what it once did, and yet the commitment to children and young people is still that unchanging driving force. You see, over 25 years ago, a group of ministers got together to put a paid youth worker into a local Brisbane high school as a chaplain. And today there's over 600 chaplains in over 850 state schools across Queensland. In 2007, the federal government granted support to chaplains for the next 3 years and extended it through 2014 and 2018 with bipartisan support. However, there was a High Court challenge to the funding. You see, at the core of the challenge, it wasn't actually about chaplains being in schools, but whether the federal government should be allowed to fund programs like chaplaincy. And if that challenge had been upheld, it would have affected not only school chaplaincy, but also chaplaincy in the Defence Forces, the Federal Police, and other areas and programs. The court rulings eventually determined that the funding could continue, but it had to be administered by the states. And the countless hours of extra effort that's gone into that, we'll just leave us there. The High Court ruled that there's no constitutional problem with chaplains serving in government schools. That was really an answer to prayer of many people and prayer of people in this community as well too. Back then, the maximum grant was $20,000 for a school in 2007. Only this year it was being indexed, and now it's $20,280 per school. At least it's heading in the right direction, I suppose. But the government funding was always only a contribution to the service, with the expectation that the local communities and church community would support that service financially. Earlier this year, you may have heard the ACT government announced that it will abandon their school chaplaincy program at the end of 2019 in ACT. As you can imagine, this news has been devastating for the school communities and the children and the parents whose lives have been powerfully impacted by the care, compassion and the spiritual support of their school chaplains. The National School Chaplaincy Association created a statement of support to join voices of tens of thousands of Australians who value the social, emotional and spiritual well-being of our next generation. And I thank those of you that were able to add your name of support to that list. Many detractors from the chaplaincy program tried to argue that chaplains are not qualified to be in the schools. But SU Queensland has always had very high standards for their chaplains over and above the government requirements for the Cert 4 in youth work or something similar. We require our chaplains to be diploma trained. You can start with a Cert 4, but you're required to complete a diploma within 3 years. But 40% of our SU chaplains have above the diploma qualifications, and that's increasing all the time. SU Queensland has a training department which now offers three different courses, a Cert 4 in youth work, a diploma of youth work, and a Cert 4 in chaplaincy and pastoral care. This last course can be completed in 9 months instead of the 12 months for the Cert 4, and course intakes at the start of every school term. But while it's important for a chaplain to be well trained, they should also have the calling to the position. There are many wonderful stories of how people have come to be a chaplain. Sometimes it's over many years, sometimes just a few short months. Originally, I was a primary school teacher. Then over the years, I found myself working in financial planning and investment and insurance. 12 years ago, I had a good job in a high-rise building in Brisbane, working in insurance, not quite with those views, but still a very easy lunchtime stroll from the Brisbane River. However, God had other ideas. Through a series of personal events, readings, sermons, conferences, and people speaking into my life, God moved my feet back to where my heart was, working with children and their families. See, when God touches us, we can't go back to where we were. There may be people here this morning that are feeling that touch from God, to go on a mission trip, to visit the Holy Land, to visit your compassion sponsor child, as I was able to do in Uganda last year, to help with RI in schools, or to volunteer in your church in some new capacity, or to undertake some study to equip you or to become a school chaplain. Keep seeking, keep listening, ask others to pray for you and with you. I well remember when I commenced as a chaplain at Redbank Plains State School for 3 days per week in 2007, my home group at the time reminded me that they were praying for me every morning. And I remember I'd stop at those traffic lights and I got the overwhelming feeling that God was with me through the power and prayers of my friends. And another close friend said she was always praying for Charmin and her challenges because she knew I faced them constantly. But I vividly remember the deputy principal calling me into her office one day to speak with three little girls who'd spent the previous night in the car with their mum, escaping domestic violence. I was able to speak with the little girls and knew that they would be staying with their auntie that night, and I said I'd follow them up at school the next day. That was my busiest day of the three I was there, with breakfast club, lunchtime activities and a Friends for Life resilience program in there somewhere. So I just prayed as I arrived at the school for the opportunity to find those three little girls and to see how they'd fared overnight. Just as I was going back to the car for the second load of breakfast items, here were the three little girls walking along the veranda together. I hadn't expected God to answer my prayer quite that quickly, but I was able to touch base with the girls and send them on their way with a smile. Sure saved me scouting around the school of 900 students to find them all individually. Since October 2010, I've been the district coordinator and now the field development manager for many schools and chaplains. Now I have the privilege of hearing many God stories from the chaplains all through this area, as they have their encounters with over 25,000 children. That's right, there's 25,000 children in the schools in my area. And you wondered where your closest mission field was? I believe it is the school right near you, the one you drive past every day, the one your friend or neighbour works in, the one your children go to, or your grandchildren, or the neighbour's children, or the children in your church. In this growing western corridor towards Ipswich, many new schools have opened since 2007, but they haven't been able to access chaplaincy funding as yet. And it's heartbreaking when a new principal rings me up and says, "Yeah, going into the school and opening the school next year, can we have the chaplain? What do we do?" And there's no funding for them at the moment. Or when a principal at a school that has had chaplaincy moves to another school, she rings me up and goes, "Shaman, there's no chaplain here. What do we do? How can we get one?" Please pray that with the continuation of government grants towards the chaplaincy program, that new schools and other schools will be able to access the program. Of course, chaplains are able to be in schools if the local community can provide the funds, as we did 25 years ago. In his book, Too Small to Ignore, Dr. Wes Stafford, former head of Compassion International, asks the question, why are children easy to ignore in this busy mainstream of life? They rarely cry out if they're overlooked, or worse, if they're traumatised or abused. Yet it is vital for the future of humanity that we make children a priority in every area of life. We can change the world one child at a time, and chaplaincy is a great avenue for that. Prayer is vital support to our chaplains, but there are other practical ways you can help also. And it's lovely that Inga is going to be putting together some packs, so I ask you if you can contribute to that to help her in this cause, that's great. Yesterday was National Day of Thanksgiving, and the focus this year was on our mayor and on our councillors, of which Ipswich hasn't got any at the moment, but moving forward, and then our politicians. We've also just had the elections, and that's been interesting as well too. Certainly Breakfast Club volunteers. And you say, this day and age, why do we have to have breakfast? You know, aren't kids fed at school? they should be, but unfortunately there's lots of stories of sad where they're not. You can be a mentor in the school. You can be a volunteer in the tuck shop, reading groups, uniform shop, sports teams, lunchtime clubs. I regularly get some of the Facebook posts of some of the schools in my area, and this last term, last few weeks, they're always saying, oh, we're having a sports day, we're doing something, can some people please come and help at our school? I'm thinking, what a great opportunity for churches and church people to be able to go in and give help to these schools. Become a religious instruction partner. There's very great help here in these centenary suburbs. Local chaplaincy committees are always looking for members and a secretary or treasurer here and there. Or be one of the volunteers on the camps or the holiday programs. And our Brisbane office also appreciates the help of passionate Christians. You can check their website or contact the office to find out about a volunteer role there. Financial support can be given in many ways. One-off donations via churches, regular monthly givings online to the SU site. Money can be left as a bequest in your will. Sponsorships can be given to help young people on camps or training for specific chaplains in individual schools. We're told in Matthew 18:5, when you welcome one of these children because of me, you welcome me. However you are able to help, I invite you to join with the chaplains to see each child and young person connected and supported to community, serving others and experiencing the fullness of life. You see, the psalmist of Psalm 46 was certainly confident of God's protection and provision. Verse 4 says, God has a constantly flowing river whose sparkling streams bring joy and delight to his people. His river flows right through the city of God Most High into his dwelling places. God is in the midst of the city, secure and never shaken. At daybreak, his help will be seen with the appearing of the dawn. When the nations are in an uproar and kingdoms fall, he lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Here we see the king to the multitudes, but also the God of the individual, with a personal relationship to Jacob. If we cast our minds back over 500 years ago, the one hymn that most symbolises the Protestant Reformation is "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." In it, Martin Luther proclaims his confidence in God and rallies the Christians to war against evil. Not much different to what we're doing today. But Luther understood the power of evil, and after he posted his 95 theses on the door of Wittenberg Castle in 1517, he faced years of trials and persecution. But basing the words of the song on Psalm 46, he victoriously states, "We will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us." Selah. The Lord Almighty is with us. In the last section of the psalm, we're encouraged, come and see what the Lord has done. He makes wars cease to end the earth. He breaks the bow and he shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. Some people interpret this to lead to a contemplative life, and that's indeed very important. But maybe it's a rebuke to the restlessness and the turbulence in the world, because with those preceding images of wars, spears, bows and shields, maybe it's saying to us, stop your fighting, lay down your arms, surrender and acknowledge that I am the only victorious God. You see, sometimes I need to be reminded that I may not only be fighting the Lord's battles, but I may be actually fighting against the Lord himself. And the call from Scripture is, don't flinch in your faith in God. It is actually a wake-up call to be in awe of God and to acknowledge who he is. And then if we didn't hear it or understand it the first time, the psalmist again finishes with the words, "The Lord Almighty is with us. the God of Jacob is our fortress. See, during the dark and dangerous days of the Reformation, it's said that Luther would turn to his trusted friend and say, "Let's sing the 46th Psalm and let the devil do his worst." In the book I mentioned earlier by Dr. Wes Stafford, he says, "Our children are victimised by war, pornography and prostitution, as well as by lack of funding, education and protection. Yet in a few short years, the world's challenges will be theirs to manage. Now is the time to act on their behalf and invest in the children, because they are too small to ignore." Can we bow our heads in prayer? Lord God, you are our refuge and our strength. You are an ever-present help in trouble. Help us not to be afraid when we are caught in a crisis or a catastrophe. Give us the strength to see that your life-giving streams of love flow through even the worst of disasters and will sustain us. Every new day brings us 24 hours of uncertainty, but every second of every hour of every day, your presence and your power in our lives is available to us. You ask us to trust and be faithful, and may we be able to say with the psalmist, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Selah. Thank you.